Morning. I hope today has been a blessing for you, that the bright sunshine and the warmth. I stepped outside this morning. I couldn't believe how warm it was. What a blessing. What a great spring. Might have been what slowed us down. We weren't all here at 10 o'clock this morning. And sometimes we were actually dressed and up earlier this morning than normal and still got out of the house later. You've never had that problem. Well, you get ready so early that you think, oh, great, I got plenty of time. And finally, you don't have any time at all. Good morning, Gary. I have a greeting to bring to you. We turn the microphone up a little bit, and my big voice is kind of overwhelming it. We'll turn it back down a little bit. I have a greeting to bring to you from your sister, Mabel. She had a rough week in and out of the hospital, but Carol and I had gone to see her in the last weekend, and she overflows with love for you. She almost can't stop talking about how much she loves you and how proud she is of you and how pleased she is of all the things the good things she hears about the church, the activity of your families and the baptisms and the trips away from here and the outreach and on and on. And she says, please tell everybody how much I love them and I'm praying for them. If you go, you want to go encourage somebody, go encourage Mabel and you'll come away lifted up. She's struggling and she's in pain, but every moment she lives for the Lord. It is so exciting to see her, and she would so wish to be here if she could, and if she can't, she wants to go home. She's ready to go home. So pray for that dear lady, would you please, and her family. And before we get into this lesson, let's lift this all up to our Father. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much, more than we can say, for the magnificent God that you are, for the way that you care for us and watch over us. Father, we thank you for answering our prayers so specifically, for watching over Mabel and her needs and her life. We think of the others around us who are also stuck at home. Please take care of Chloe and Ruby and others who are recovering from surgeries and those who are on the road traveling. We pray for those who are out broadcasting the magnificence of your gospel. We pray for Ben and Yasmin and their brand new marriage, their union, and for the effectiveness of their lives. Father, there's just a thousand things we lift up to you. And Father, we also pray for you to answer, please answer our prayers on our church expansion. We would love to see the sale of this place and the construction of the new place, Father, in your will, in your way. But Lord, please make it happen and make it happen quickly. And we want to grow and expand the walls and expand the scope of your gospel and your kingdom. Please help us to do these things. Challenge us, lead us, show us, Lord. Help us to be your servants every way, every day. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I've been thinking about our graduates. You can't go through May and June without thinking about the graduations going around you. And I was trying to think, everybody has advice, what do you think about somebody's young life who's heading into the big world, heading out into adulthood. I thought of this verse that we just read, that Patrick just read for us, about hearing and seeing and letting our hearts follow God. Jesus brings up the quotation from Isaiah that you will keep on hearing but not understand, and seeing but not perceive, and their hearts become dull. And then down at the bottom in verse 16, but blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. And how magnificent that is to have that praise from Jesus, to have that blessing, to have him specifically say, your ears are hearing. Now, I've said before, and I bring it up to you again, one of the most misunderstood words in the some of the most misunderstood words in the Bible are the pronouns you and your and it and he and she, etc. And we've got to be careful with pronouns. We've got to be very careful with our pronouns. And in this case, the pronoun is your, it identifies the disciples back in verse 10. So Jesus is specifically talking about the disciples. Your ears here, but that gives us hope. Because if we can be like them and have ears that hear and eyes that see, then we can also receive that statement from Christ, that we are blessed because we see. So this lesson is for us to listen, to look, to think, and to do. That's the lesson of life. Listen, look, think, and do. And we're going to start do it in that order and start in Romans 10, if you will join me there. Turn to Romans 10. To listen, of course, you must hear. And one of the problems with listening today, I don't see anybody with headphones in right now. Anybody have headphones in? But every once in a while on a Sunday, I'll notice that somebody's got an earphone, you know, in whatever. And that's indicative of one of the problems of our modern society is that we have so many voices. There is so much noise, it's hard to hear. It's hard to hear what we're supposed to be listening to. We are can constantly be overwhelmed by music. I've noticed that the music in stores and in restaurants and in businesses is becoming more and more invasive. At least it is to me. You almost can't go anywhere without some kind of music being pumped on you. And in advertising, I guess they're not interested in me as a customer because they're constantly bombarding us with rock music. And the loud thumping beat and all the rest of it, I'll turn to Carol and I says, I guess they don't want me as a customer. We need to be able to reflect. We need to be able to think. We need to be able to turn down the noise. Turn down the noise. I was reading something this past week about organizing our days. There's a man who did a famous speech 10, 15 years ago. And the three parts of his speech were how to live. It was the point of his speech. And he said, every day you live, this was not a religious lesson. He said, every day you live, try to laugh, cry, and think. He said, if every day in your life you can find something to laugh about and something that brings you to tears, that moves you, and something serious and good that you can deepen, that you can think about. He said, that's a full day. And in that light, I ran into something this week about what to do with every day. And the admonition in this advice was to carve out 15 minutes of silence every day. Find 15 minutes of silence. I thought that was interesting. First thing I thought of was how hard that might be. How hard that might be to find 15 minutes where we aren't surrounded by noise or music or electronic things. Jesus calls us to listen. Romans 10 gives us a source to listen to. Start in verse 11 with me, please, would you? Romans 10, 11. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? How will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet are those of those who bring good news of good things. However, they did not all heed the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. But I say, surely they have never heard, have they? Indeed they have. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. The last indicating that there's ample availability of the word of God, that it has gone out into all ends of the earth. But the point here is that we're supposed to be listening to the word. Go to the word. Are you listening? Go to the word. I never do that. It has a neat response when you challenge, are you listening? Because we do get distracted. We do think about the pot roast back at home, whether we set it at the right temperature. We do think about the activity we want to do this afternoon. We do think about the schedule I'm going to run through tomorrow. We do think about what we would rather be doing. We do think about the movie we saw last night. We do think about all sorts of things that distract us, and we're not listening. God calls us to listen because our faith comes from hearing God's word. We need to be of God's word, in God's word, listening to God's word to help nurture, grow, and give us a faith. Listen. Proverbs chapter 1, turn there with me, please. For our youth, and that means the child in every one of us in our relationship to God. For all of us are children to God. But this is practical in our homes and for our children by earthly age, children in our own homes. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8. Hear, my son, your father's instructions. Now, I don't know how long my father's lectures were when I was a child. I know my children have suffered through some of my lectures. But there is a rightness and an appropriateness of the father passing on to the children instruction from God. And, second half of the verse, do not forsake your mother's teaching. How many times do we think back on the things our mom taught us? The example she was, the words she used. Hear, my son, your father's instructions. The first thing we listen to is the word of God, for there we find the seeds of our faith. But sometimes, and usually the first way we hear about the word of God is because it comes through the lips of our parents. Hopefully it's our mother and father who are teaching us about what God's word says. Verse 10, my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood, let us ambush the innocent, etc., etc., etc. A father or a mother warning their child, stay away from the garbage. Don't hang out with those guys. Don't go down that road. It'll entrap you. It'll deliver you trouble. My son, verse 15, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your feet from their path, for their feet run to evil. Look at the second half of verse 18. You know, there's so many people who think, oh, I'm just going to take care of this thing. I'm going to go teach that guy a lesson. I'm going to go take back my stuff. I'm going to go cause some mischief. I'm going to try drinking this, I'm going to try that drug, I'm going to try racing down this road. I'm going to do this. And we go outside of the teaching of our parents. We go outside of the will of God. And we think, I'll just try this. It looks like fun. I think I'll have a wild night, just one. Verse 18 says, they ambush their own lives. We think we're just going to do whatever it is, whatever stupid thing out there we conjure up in our own minds or our so-called friends talk us into, and we end up ambushing our own lives. You don't have to try everything to learn that certain things are stupid. You don't. You don't have to, obviously, try drugs. All you have to do is pay attention. Just listen to the advice given you. If you want to go on to the next one, just look at the lives that are ruined by not following that advice. You don't have to see every garbage movie. You don't have to try every stupid thing. You don't have to drive down any road in excessive speed. You don't have to try being cool. You don't have to pattern your life after the group that you happen to admire. You don't have to run after lust and looseness of life. You don't have to go too far in your physical relationships. You don't have to try everything to find out that was dumb. Now look at the mess I'm in. Listen, listen, listen. Your parents love you. The Word of God has teaching for you. Listen. Verse 20 of Proverbs 1. Wisdom shouts in the street. She lifts her voice in the square. Verse 22. How long, O naive ones, will you love being simple-minded? That could almost be written the other way. How long will you simple-minded ones love being naive? And scoffers delight themselves in scoffers, and fools hate knowledge. Proverbs chapter 2. My son, if you'll receive my words and treasure my commandment within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom. Incline your heart to understanding. If you seek her as silver, verse 4, and search for her as a hidden treasure, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God, for the Lord gives wisdom. Chapter 2, verse 11. Discretion will guard you. Understanding will watch over you. Chapter 3, verse 1. My son, do not forget my teaching. Let your heart keep my commandments, for the length of days and years of life and peace will add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. Over and over again, and I skipped around there. The whole thing is magnificent, of course. In fact, I really wanted to keep reading in verse 3, but I don't want to press the time too much. Listen, pay attention. We don't need to participate in every stupid thing going around to find out that those things are really stupid. You don't have to read through the newspaper very far before you find another person who horribly, lifelong, regrets some 30-second choice they made, some 5-minute or 1-hour action they decided to take, and they're shaking their heads and in pain for the rest of their lives for what they did. Listen, listen. Psalm chapter 19. Listen in a different way. Psalm chapter 19, verse 1. We listen to the word. We listen to the advice given to us by people who love us, namely our parents. And we also get to listen to the creation, listen to what's around us. Let's read with me Psalm 19, verse 1. We've read this verse many times over the years, but let's look at it from a different point of view. The heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of his hands. Day to day pours forth speech. and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their utterances to the end of the world. In them he has placed the tent for the sun, etc., etc. He's talking about how obvious it is that God is the creator because you can hear it. You ever heard the sun moving across the sky? I haven't either. He says there's no speech, there's no sound, there's no utterances, but I want you to listen to the creation. Listen. Now, that's the first lesson. Listen. Listen to the word of God. Listen to those who love you and give you advice. And listen to the creation. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17, if you will. It's going to begin our brief dive into the idea of looking. Jesus says, they hear and they don't understand. They look and they don't perceive. We're going to look, but we're not just going to look. We're going to perceive. We're going to see with our eyes, not just look. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 11, for momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Isn't that magnificent? We just finished Romans 19 that says, I want you to listen to what you can't hear. I want you to listen to something that's not making any sound. And now we're being told, I want you to look at what you can't see. You see, we're being called, those of you who are graduating, those of you who are stepping out into life, we are being called to a life and a perception that is not normal in this world. We're being called to pay attention. Over and over and over again in the Old Testament, we're told to lift up our eyes. Or these characters in the Old Testament are being told to lift up their eyes. Or when they lifted up their eyes, they saw more than they had seen before. In Isaiah 40, verse 25. Whom then will you liken to me, that I would be his equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and see who has created these stars. The one who leads forth their host by number, he calls them all by name. Because of the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, not one of them is missing. God says, open up your eyes, look, pay attention. Specifically in 2 Corinthians, look at what you can't see. Because there's a lot going on in what you can't see. It's interesting to me. We spend a lot of time and a lot of effort and a lot of money in the Western world, in the United States in particular, looking at things that aren't real. Television shows aren't real. Doesn't matter how much reality they say this reality show. We're going to put 10 people in an apartment for 6 months and wait till they beat each other up. Or whatever the latest reality show is. None of them are real. We'll go to movies that aren't real and spend mountains of time and money looking after things and running after things that aren't real. And God is saying, I've got some real things I want you to look at, but you're not going to be able to see them. It starts with me and my Son and the Holy Spirit. And when you look at us, you're going to see a couple of other things you can't see. Faith, hope, love. I'm going to give you a whole list of things you can't see, but they're the most important things you'll ever have. Faith in me in partnership with my Son. We are to be people who look beyond just what we can see. We don't have time to tell the story, but in 2 Kings 6, that's the story when Elisha was in the town that was surrounded by the enemy army. The servant went out in the morning. This is around verse 15 or so. Servant went out in the morning, saw the enemy army, comes running back into Elisha. What do we do? What do we do? And Elisha walks back out with him and says, Lord, would you please open up the servant's eyes that he may see? Verse 17. I pray that his eyes, he may open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the servant's eyes and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. You see, those who are with us are greater than those who are against us. Because there are other things we can't see. There's a spiritual warfare going on in every direction that your prayer is connected to that you can't see, and yet it's deadly and vital and critical. There's all kinds of things going on that we can't see, but there are all kinds of things going on that we can see that God also wants us to look at. In John 4, after discussing things with the woman at the well, the disciples come back. Lord, would you like something to eat? And he says, I have food to eat. I have food to eat that you do not know about. And then he says in verse 35, do not say there are yet 4 months and then comes a harvest. Before I say to you, behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look to the fields, that they are white for harvest. Already he who reaps is receiving wages and is gathering fruit to eternal life. See, God wants us to open up our eyes, not just to see the things which are significant that we'll never physically see. God himself, he's Spirit, Christ his Son, and his Holy Spirit who he gives us in us. But to open up our eyes and see people for who they really are. To see people for who they really are. In 2 Corinthians 5, we're told that we are no longer to consider people the way we used to. Therefore, from now on, we recognize, verse 16 of 2 Corinthians 5, therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer. Don't just look at people according to the flesh. This is connected to the lesson we had a few weeks ago about how false and fake the approach to beauty is these days, and how horribly treated we are in regard to how we look, or how good we look, or how bad we look. We don't look at people according to the flesh. We look at people, but we look beyond the surface, and we see the soul of that person who needs to know their Heavenly Father. So we listen different than other people listen, and we see different than other people see, which leads us to the third one, think. Romans 12:1. Therefore I urge you, brethren, in the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Not the removal of your mind, but the renewal of your mind. Christianity is a thinking religion. Christianity is for people who want to think. There are great depths to be had here. The Christianity will stand up to any challenge given on any level, from any direction. But you have to be honest and fair with it. You can lie and twist and undercut it with empty arguments or fine-sounding arguments that don't have any basis to them. But God wants you to think. Think, think, think is a quotation from a preacher that my family enjoys listening to. Think, think, think. We were reading in Psalm 19. Look at Psalm 14 for a minute. Psalm 14. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have committed abominable deeds. There is no one who does good. The Lord has looked down from heaven upon the sons of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. They have all turned aside. They have all become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. Now, that's part of the good news, is that all of us have become corrupt. All of us have corrupted our lives. And the good news is that God has reconnected us or offers a reconnection to us in Jesus Christ. But what he's looking for is people who think, people who pay attention, people who use their minds to understand that he is, and as Hebrews says, is a rewarder of those who seek him. He wants us to be thinking people. That we think correctly about God, that we think correctly about ourselves, and that we think correctly about others. You know, it's not very hard to make a logical case for the existence of God. You don't have to go, you can go down philosophical roads, you can go down moral roads, you can go down scientific roads, and all of them lead logically to the fact that God is. But you need to think. Don't listen to the empty arguments around you. Don't listen to the tripwires. Don't let your faith be hollowed out by somebody's straw man argument and let them knock down your faith. Your faith is because you think. You pay attention to the word. You pay attention to the world. You pay attention to the truth. Think about it. Think. God wants us to think. We are to listen. We are to see. We are to think. And finally, we are to do. We are to act. 2 Corinthians 5 again. Therefore, always being of good courage and knowing that we are at home in the body, while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from body and be home in the Lord. Therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether home or absent, to be pleasing to him. Our walk, we're asked to do, to get up and act out the obedience to his word. It's how our love is shown to him. Jesus says there are two great commandments. The foremost, Mark 12 is a good source for this, verse 29. The foremost is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one Lord. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There are no commandments greater than these. God gives us a mission as a church to go and make disciples. Go into all the world. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth, says Jesus in Matthew 28. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. All nations, as a church, we're supposed to be going. Now, if we're sitting in Wasilla, Alaska, we think going sometimes means Mexico. Or going means South Africa. Or going means the Ukraine. Or going means Australia. Or Thailand and Cambodia, etc., etc., etc. But going means next door. We give a lot of sound and noise and appreciation and praise, as we should, to those going into the AIM program or those going out on mission fields. But going into all the world is going here too. Giving God your life and serving him in South Africa is the same quality as giving God your life and serving him in Palmer. We have people coming to us as a mission field this summer. We have a group of about 30 teens and adults coming in the end of July. Now, half of them will probably be working at camp most of the time, and half of them will be helping us with our VBS. But we're their mission field. They're coming here from Texas, a great distance. We're excited about that. But don't let our praise of AIM or other things make it less valuable to give your life to serve right here. The key to it is giving God your life and your days. That we do, that we act for His will and His obedience. That we obey His word, our obedience of Him. Listen, see, think, do. We can shuffle along in life. We can, you know, graduate and go on to the next thing. We can get a job. We can get married. We can buy a house. We can even show up at church every Sunday. And we can just shuffle along and shuffle along. Shuffle along. Take care of the things we need to take care of. Or we can live. We can pay attention. We can listen to the things going on around us. We can listen to the things that aren't making any sounds at all. We can see the things that are invisible because we see them with faith. We can think logically and rightly and soundly about who God is, who we are, and who others are. And based on what we hear and what we see and what we know, we get up and do. We live. Let's be people who live for Christ. Let's be people who are active in our days. That our faith is borne out in daily exertion to please God, our Heavenly Father. Therefore, also we have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to Him, says Paul in 2 Corinthians 5. At this time, if there's anyone here who wants to take their faith and match it up with obedience to be found in Christ, if you're ready to be baptized into Him, we're ready to help you with that. If you want to set up a Bible study, if you have something you want to make known to the congregation, whatever your need is, would you please let us know what it is while we sing the song that's been selected? Please.